Chapter 4, The Influence of Mothers, from Teachings of President to the Church, Joseph F. Smith. Mothers who have the gospel in their hearts will lead their children in the paths of righteousness and truth. From the life of Joseph F. Smith. President Joseph F. Smith had the highest esteem for mothers. His own mother was an example to him of faith and resolve. Describing her noble influence, he said, "I can remember my mother in the days of Nauvoo, 1839 through 1846. I remember seeing her and her helpless children hustled into a flatboat with such things as she could carry out of the house at the commencement of the bombardment of the city of Nauvoo by the mob. I remember the hardships of the church there and on the way to winter quarters on the Missouri River, and how she prayed for her children and family on her wearisome journey. I can remember all the trials incident to our endeavors to move out with the camp of Israel, coming to these valleys of the mountains, without teams sufficient to draw our wagons, and being without the means to get those teams necessary. She yoked up her cows and calves and tied two wagons together, and we started to come to Utah in this crude and helpless condition. And my mother said, 'The Lord will open the way,' but how he would open the way, no one knew." Do you not think that these things make an impression upon the mind? Do you think I can forget the example of my mother? No, her faith and example will ever be bright in my memory. What do I think? Every breath I breathe, every feeling of my soul rises to God in thankfulness to him that my mother was a saint, that she was a woman of God, pure and faithful, and that she would suffer death rather than betray the trust committed to her, that she would suffer poverty and distress in the wilderness and try to hold her family together rather than remain in Babylon. That is the spirit which imbued her and her children. Would not her children be unworthy of such a mother did they not hearken to and follow her example? Therefore I say, God bless the mothers in Israel. Teachings of Joseph F. Smith. A mother's influence extends from generation to generation. How I love and cherish true motherhood! Nothing beneath the celestial kingdom can surpass my deathless love for the sweet, true, noble soul who gave me birth, my own mother. Oh, she was good. She was true. She was pure. She was indeed a saint, a royal daughter of God. To her I owe my very existence, as also my success in life, coupled with the favor and mercy of God. As a rule, the mothers in Zion, the mothers of Israel, are the very best women that live in the world, the best that can be found anywhere. The good influence that a good mother exercises over her children is like leaven cast into the measure of meal that will leaven the whole lump. And as far as her influence extends, not only to her own children, but to the associates of her children, it is felt, and good is the result accomplished by it. And sisters, you do not know how far your influence extends. A mother that is successful in raising a good boy or girl to imitate her example and to follow her precepts through life sows the seeds of virtue, honor, and integrity, and of righteousness in their hearts that will be felt through all their career and life, and wherever that boy or girl goes, as man or woman, in whatever society they mingle. The good effects of the example of that mother upon them will be felt, and it will never die, because it will extend from them to their children from generation to generation. And especially do we hope for this in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my childhood, I was instructed to believe in the divinity of the mission of Jesus Christ. I was taught by my mother, a saint indeed, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was indeed no other than the only begotten of God in the flesh, and that therefore no other than God the Eternal Father is his Father and the author of his existence in the world. I was taught it from my father, from the prophet Joseph Smith, through my mother, who embraced the gospel because she believed in the testimony of Joseph Smith, and she believed in the honor, integrity, and truthfulness of her husband. In all my boyhood days and all my years in the world, I have clung to that belief. Indeed, I have never had any serious dubiety in my mind, even in childhood. Great responsibility rests upon the mothers in Israel. Motherhood lies at the foundation of happiness in the home and of prosperity in the nation. God has laid upon men and women very sacred obligations with respect to motherhood. I think that the best mothers in the world should be found, and consistently found, among the Latter-day Saints. I believe the best wives in all the world are found among the Latter-day Saints. I do not know of any other women in the world that have the same conception of wifehood and motherhood that the Latter-day Saints possess. Our associations are not exclusively intended for this life. We live for time and for eternity. We form associations and relations for time and all eternity. Our affections and our desires are found fitted and prepared to endure not only throughout the temporal or mortal life, but through all eternity. We shall prosper and build up Zion upon the earth, for this is our mission, and the work of your mothers and daughters of Zion, the mothers now, and by the daughters, who will in turn be mothers in Israel. Great responsibility rests upon you. Upon you depend the training and the direction of the thoughts and the inspiration of the hearts of your children, for they drink into the spirit of their mothers, and the influence of the mother over the children is the most enduring impression that can be made. There is nothing so imperishable as the influence of the mother. That is when she is good and has the spirit of the gospel in her heart, and she has brought up her children in the way they should go. Our mothers and the mothers of our children, whose hearts are filled with solicitude for the welfare of their children, having had conferred upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, can go to their secret chambers and bow down before God and commune with Him as no other mothers on earth can do, if they will only observe the principles they have embraced and will live up to their privileges. By the influence that they will thus gain over the hearts of their children, they will lead them in the path of righteousness and truth, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the love of truth, in obedience to His commands, in such a way as others cannot do who are destitute of these privileges, blessings and endowments, so freely conferred upon the mothers in Israel. There can be no genuine happiness separate and apart from the home, and every effort made to sanctify and preserve its influence is uplifting to those who toil and sacrifice for its establishment. Men and women often seek to substitute some other life for that of the home. They would make themselves believe that the home means restraint, that the highest liberty is the fullest opportunity to move about at will. There is no happiness without service, and there is no service greater than that which converts the home into a divine institution, and which promotes and preserves family life. The strongest attachments of childhood are those that cluster about the home, and the dearest memories of old age are those that call up the associations of youth and its happy surroundings. In the home, the mother is the principal disciplinarian in early child life, and her influence and discipline determine in a great measure the ability of her children to assume in manhood and womanhood the larger governments in church and state. I most sincerely hope that the mothers of Israel will guard very zealously and very carefully the lives of their daughters and of their sons. I would, if I had it in my power, make it possible for all mothers to have the joy and the unspeakable satisfaction of rearing their sons and their daughters above the reproach of men and above the power of sin. The love of a true mother comes near to being like the love of God. No love in all the world can equal the love of a true mother. I have felt sometimes, how could even the father love his children more than my mother loved her children? It was life to me. It was strength. It was encouragement. It was love that begat love or liking in myself. I knew she loved me with all her heart. She loved her children with all her soul. She would toil and labor and sacrifice herself day and night for the temporal comforts and blessings that she could meagerly give through the results of her own labors to her children. There was no sacrifice of self, of her own time, of her leisure or pleasure, or opportunities for rest. That was considered for a moment when it was compared with her duty and her love to her children. When I was 15 years of age and called to go to a foreign country to preach the gospel, or to learn how and to learn it for myself, the strongest anchor that was fixed in my life and that helped to hold my ambition and my desire steady, to bring me upon a level and keep me straight, was that love which I knew she had for me, who bore me into the world. Only a little boy, not matured at all in judgment, without the advantage of education, thrown in the midst of the greatest allurements and temptations that it was possible for any boy or man to be subjected to, and yet whenever these temptations became most alluring and most tempting to me, the first thought that arose in my soul was this: remember the love of your mother. Remember how she strove for your welfare. Remember how willing she was to sacrifice her life for your good. Remember what she taught you in your childhood. This feeling toward my mother became a defense, a barrier between me and temptation, so that I could turn aside from temptation and sin by the help of the Lord and the love begotten in my soul toward her whom I knew loved me more than anybody else in all the world, and more than any other living being could love me. The true mother, the mother who has the fear of God and the love of truth in her soul, would never hide from danger or evil and leave her child exposed to it. But as natural as it is for the sparks to fly upward, as natural as it is to breathe the breath of life, if there were danger coming to her child, she would step between the child and that danger. She would defend her child to the uttermost. Her life would be nothing in the balance in comparison with the life of her child. That is the love of true motherhood for children. I have learned to place a high estimate upon the love of mother. I have often said, and will repeat it, that the love of a true mother comes nearer being like the love of God than any other kind of love. Perhaps the most perfect ideal in the art of healing is the mother whose tender and gracious love asserts itself in taking away the sting of a deserved or undeserved punishment. How her love heals every wound, how quick her caresses bind up and soothe. The example of her life is the wisdom which love teaches. There is nothing between me and the heavens that would compensate for doing something that would grieve or hurt my mother. Why? Because she loved me. She would have died for me over and over again, if such were possible, only to have saved me. Why should I grieve? Why should I disappoint her? Why should I take a course contrary to her own life and her life's teachings to me? For she taught me honor and virtue and truth and integrity to the kingdom of God, and she taught me not only by precept, but by example. I cannot express the joy I feel at the thought of meeting my father and my precious mother, who gave me birth in the midst of persecution and poverty, who bore me in her arms and was patient, forbearing, tender, and true during all my helpless moments in the world. The thought of meeting her, who can express the joy? God bless the mothers in Zion. God bless the mothers in Zion and the sons and daughters of Israel, and keep our children from the ways of the world, from transgression and from temptation that will lead them astray. May the power of God be over all the household of faith. I look upon these mothers in Israel who have been endowed with the gift of the Holy Ghost, who have been born again. The daughters of Israel have been born of the water and of the Spirit, and they have been endowed with the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands of those who had authority to convey that power and that gift to the daughters of Zion, as well as to the sons of Zion. I believe that every mother has the right to know what to do in her family and in her sphere over her children, in their guidance and direction, and that mother and every mother possessing that spirit has the gift of revelation, the gift of inspiration, and the gift of knowledge, which is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of discernment, a gift of God to them, to govern their households and lead their children in the path of righteousness and truth. I feel in my heart to bless you, mothers and sisters, with all my heart and with all the power and right that I possess in the priesthood, which is after the order of the Son of God. I have the right and authority in the priesthood to bless Israel, and to bless those who are faithful, especially, and I feel in my heart, to say I bless you. Suggestions for study. What impresses you about President Smith's description of his mother? What qualities of righteousness do you see exemplified by mothers you know? Why does motherhood lie at the foundation of happiness in the home and of prosperity in the nation? What are the sacred obligations of men and women with respect to motherhood? How does our understanding of eternal families influence our actions and attitudes toward mothers and motherhood? How can a mother influence the minds and hearts of her children for righteousness? How have you been blessed? How have you been blessed by the influence of a mother in Zion? What challenges do parents face today in bringing up children in the love of truth, in obedience to God's commands? How can parents deal with these challenges? What spiritual blessings does President Smith say are the right of mothers who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost? How can mothers use these gifts to help their children walk in the paths of righteousness? How can the love and teachings of a mother become a defense, a barrier between us and temptation? End of chapter 4, The Influence of Mothers, from Teachings of President to the Church, Joseph F. Smith.